Isn't this party awesome?
Yeah, totally. What are we celebrating?
CGSF 90.1 FM's Fun Drive. We've been making awesome campus community radio on the FM dial for 20 years.
I love CJSF. Supporting local media is awesome.
So be awesome. Donate to CGSF 90.1 FM's Fun Drive now at cgsf.ca/donate.
Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hey, yes, it's sipping time again. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Word. It's fall release. We are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Damn There's right we are.
Nothing can beat us now at this point.
No. Not when it's fall season.
Nope. Right?
Yeah, we own the fall release season.
Yep.
Well, this is Made Man Bob. Joining me today, our Made Man Brent.
You know, I love what you've done in the basement. All these mums are just like, it's the perfect environment.
Don't even
mum,
go there.
Mum.
Don't even go there. If I had to listen to that one more time at the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, I was going to strangle him.
What was this? I missed this story.
Old Delaney's is a sausage and ham place right there in Bardstown. You know, you always stop and get your little ham biscuit before you go into the Bourbon Festival. And at this time of year,
ham biscuits were a Virginia thing.
And if you go to, it's a Southern thing. You wouldn't understand. So if
I married two Southern girls. I still don't understand them. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. And the last one left you. So
one at a time, by the way. One at a time.
And the parking lot is this time of year. Is filled, they sell mums, so they got like 10,000 gallon containers of mums, and I had to listen to this knucklehead talk about mums for three damn days, how he was going to bring them all the way back to Florida. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's
hey, we're still alive.
God help me. And good old boy Justin,
good morning. For those tracking out there,
say, is that it? I'm okay.
Mom's
let's move
the
on.
Word today.
That was it. Okay. And good old boy Harm.
Well, thanks for having me, Bob. I appreciate being here. You guys are the best.
Just turn that phone on. Do whatever you want. You know? Forget the fact that we're recording. You know, yeah,
I was looking for a sound effect on my phone, and I got an advertisement instead.
I got a computer full of sound effects. Yeah. All right, so our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and mums, apparently. And here are the whiskeys we're going to be discussing today. This is our first of the fall release shows, so we got some pretty good ones here. We've got the Yellowstone 2023 Limited Edition Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. From Blood Oath, we have the Blood Oath Pack 9 release. We have the Remus Reserve Repeal Series 7. I think we've done all seven so far. We have Little Book Chapter 7 from Old Fitzgerald. We have the Bottled and Bond Old Fitz Spring Release. I know what you're thinking. I only got this a short while ago. It didn't come out in the spring to us. The 2023 Parker's Heritage Collection, the Daniel Weller Emmer Wheat, and the Four Roses Limited Edition Small Batch 2023. Just play that anytime. Go right ahead. I'm going to nail that phone to the wall.
Mum, come on.
Knucklehead. So we're going to have Justin tell us about our sips ratings, if he can do it while Harm's got his phone turned off, maybe.
Oh, yeah. This is Tony the Tiger doing sips ratings.
That's not Tony the Tiger. That's the Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
No, you know who that is? That's Duffman from The Simpsons.
Duffman, he drinks beer.
Yeah, that's Duffman.
two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
I have Duff beer.
Well, isn't that nice?
And a side of mums.
Mm-hmm. Three sips.
Interesting, but what was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips.
Let's keep this secret to ourselves and pour me another.
Oh, that's gone off the rails. That's done.
Yeah. Thanks for waking up, Harm. Five sips.
Oh, my! I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's definitely the Kool-Aid Man.
No, it's Duffman. That's Duffman and...
Yeah, it's a combination of Duff Man and the Kool-Aid
Hard drugs.
I half expect him to like bust through the wall and, you know, pour kids Kool-Aid now.
So, hard liquor, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, dear Lord.
Well, definitely.
God help us all. Well, let's see if we can salvage this. So let's get started. We're going to have Brent tell us about our first whiskey.
Thanks, Bob. This one is the Yellowstone 2023 limited edition Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Yeah, that those numbers mean something.
I know that.
The way you said it, it's like...
The 2023? Yeah, that's nice. Like
these go to 11.
That'd be a 101 proof, 50.5% ABV, non-age stated. So the Limestone Branch Distillery was founded in 2011 by the brothers Steve and Paul Beam. With a long history of distilling on both sides of the family, Beam and Dant, the brothers are seventh generation distillers. The 2023 release of the Yellowstone Limited Edition Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey is a blend of 7-year, 13-year, and 16-year aged bourbons finished in
Tokai.
Yeah, Tokaji wine cask.
It's Tokai.
Tokai is a traditional sweet wine from the Tokaji region of Hungary, made exclusively from white wine grapes. I said it both ways, so I'm right at least once.
The Hungarians are going to come after you. The grapes, by the way, are boitrecized. They have the noble rot, Petritus.
You were waiting for the opportune moment. That was it.
So this has got a nice copper penny color to it on the nose. It gets sweet. It's like a lot of sweetness on here. Get a little bit of cinnamon with that sweetness, a little bit of honey there on the palate. I kind of get some dry notes to it right off the bat, but then I get the caramel and some dark cherries, a little bit of tobacco, some of those tannins with the oak on it, and it's very pleasant. It's got a nice finish to it, nice mouthfeel. You know, this is a perennial favorite every single year. This comes out, and I look forward to it, and it just keeps getting better every year, I think. Justin, what do you think?
So I smelled a Delaney sausage biscuit on this nose, along with the honey, green grapes, and cinnamon. On the palate, it was dry. It's like some caramel, some fruits, and then some pepper.
Yeah, they mentioned the pepper that comes out as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely white pepper.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, big, big, big on the front about third of the tone.
Almost the sausage gravy, but it didn't quite make it.
Nothing's quite a sausage gravy. Come on.
Yeah. What did you think, Harm?
Well, I was surprised because they use Tokai barrels, and Tokai is botrytized wine that's got that, like, you know, like a sauterne. What happens is the mold, the botrytis mold, attaches to the skins of the grapes and sends hyphae through the skin, and it sucks the water out. So it raisinates the grape. It's a moldy grape they make wine from. And it intensifies the flavors.
All right.
So you get more intense flavor from the grape, but you also taste that mold, that botrytis mold. It's called the noble rot. It has a distinct flavor. I was expecting that here. I don't get it. I get
that's,
the grape.
That's because you can pronounce it wrong. It's Tokaji.
Now, what it does is it removes water from the grape, but not sugar. So what you end up with is more sugar and a higher alcohol content on the wine. So you make a nice sticky, high alcohol
wine. Sticky, icky, good dessert wine. So I was expecting more of those, but the mold has a flavor itself. And I was expecting more of that umami.
Why does he know what mold tastes like?
I'm getting the if you had Sauternes wine, you've had Sauternes. Yeah. That's the most. It's distinct from just raisinated wine.
I'm just.
You can have.
I'm
like,
just thinking he's
a lot like Mad Dog 2020.
No, wait, look.
I think he eats mold.
Have you had Trockenbeeren Ausschlüsse?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but I've had Mad Dog 2020.
Okay. wine made from raisinated grapes like
Trockenbeeren Ausschlüsse,
Baron Ausschlüsse, Trockenbeeren Ausschlüsse, and also like when you dry them on straw mats, what's it called? Amarone.
Appassimentiato.
Amarone.
Yeah.
So there's no mold in those. There's no mold.
Yeah.
Okay, the Sauternes has that mold, which is a little different. It's got this. It's got a sharp spikiness.
Well, Trockenbeeren Ausschlüsse has mold.
Trockenbeeren.
Yeah.
Some do, but they're
Baron
not.
Ausschlüsse generally doesn't, but Trockenbeeren Ausschlüsse.
All right, so Ausschlüsse wine is highest sugar generally.
Boy, we're getting geeky.
Whatever.
Oh, way too geeky.
I was expecting more.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all. Okay.
Sounds like we're playing.
I was going to say it's what his wife said on his wedding night. Yeah. So.
A wedding? Are you kidding me? I was thrown up over the balcony. We didn't get nothing that.
Mm-hmm.
I had to make up for it like a month after that.
And you ruined our wedding repeats. Night.
Yeah, and the pattern repeats for the last 25 years. Yeah. Wow, nothing has changed.
So what do you think?
History repeats itself on an annual basis. I think it's a lovely finish on it. It would not have been one of the wines that had jumped into my mind as. Hey, let's give that one a try. But, you know, you're always looking for something. But I think it came out really well. You know, it's not too overpowering. It's not too sticky sweet, which I'm surprised I thought it would be.
Yeah. See, Dr. Bill's used Tokaj barrels for Glenmorangie and also Sauternes barrels. Mm-hmm. The regular Nectar Dior is a Sauternes finish. Yeah.
I think this one came out really well. I mean, the base whiskey you can taste is very well done. I mean, the base whiskey in itself, and I think the barrel finish worked out really well.
I think it used more time in the barrel.
I think a little more time, or maybe I don't know if these were wet or dry barrels. That's what I'm wondering.
That's the problem.
If they were wet barrels, I think we might have got a little bit more of the sweet out of it. So, and I think that might have been also interesting. I think this one's really nice, but if you got the other side of the coin with more of the sugar, it would have been cool. But we're going to be rating the Yellowstone 2023 Limited Edition Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, a well-deserved four sips.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I was expecting more from the Tokaj. That's it. That's all there is.
Your wife could have had five sips,
Yellowstone.
Your wife is expecting more out of you every day, and it's not getting any better. So
I'm used to disappointing her. She's used to disappointment now. It's all right.
Well, that's true because she hasn't divorced you yet. But give it time. Give it time.
She can't. We have a kid now.
That's what you think.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the line of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and this is our fall release show. We just finished talking about the Yellowstone 2023 limited edition release. Gave that a well-deserved four sips. So we're moving on to our next one, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that wine.
So we're going to talk about Blood Oath Pack number 9. 49.3% alcohol by volume.
It's always the same proof. Always, every release.
Still 98.6
proof. Same as your blood.
That's my body temperature?
That's why they do it. Yeah, 98.6.
Yeah, I'm more of a 97.9 guy, but we won't quibble. Cold-blooded. The Blood Oath series of whiskeys is limited-release bourbon from the folks at Luxco. First released in 2015, a new release or pact is released each year. Each release of Blood Oath is the creation of John Rempe, head distiller at Lux Road Distillery and director of corporate research and development at Luxco. Each release is different, unique combination of whiskeys. This year's release is a blend of 16-year rye bourbon, 12-year rye bourbon, and a 7-year rye bourbon finished in Oloroso sherry casks. This release smells like sweet sherry, a little bit of ripe fruit, a little bit of marmalade on the palate. Ripe fruits, including figs, molasses. There's definitely a chocolate and light tobacco note. There's some cocoa, and it's on the dry side. And the finish is decent but unremarkable, and I thought this was okay. What did you think, Brett?
Yeah, I got that on the palate. I got the molasses, the chocolate, and tobacco right away. And then you have to add water to this one. It's a must. It's one of these ones you must add water. You
there was no fruit till you add the water.
Yeah, then all of a sudden you get the figs and the raisins that just pop out of it after you add the water, and it really changes it. So that's what I would want to tell people on this one is just make sure you add the water or throw it over a nice big cube or something, and then just sit back, relax, and enjoy it. It's
my
nice.
My problem with a big cube is when you chill it too much, you bank down the volatile, the vapors come down, and if you can't smell it, you can't taste it.
Well, you could chill it over a cube and take the cube out.
Do a room temperature drop of distilled water.
Cold water, man. Just cold water is fine.
Cool water is all you need.
I mean, the big cubes look great when you're in the bar,
mm-hmm.
and they make them for you or whatever. That's great, but just cold water for me. And really, the figs came out. You got that without the water or with after water, Justin?
More after water.
After, right? Before the water, it was all about oak, just all oak. And then the sweetness just came out with that water. And you said you didn't like the finish. I thought the finish was pretty nice.
Just a little short for me. That's what she said.
No one's ever told me that to me. What are you talking about?
That's good.
Bob, what do you think?
Thank you. Boy, yeah, I'm not going there.
It says something about swimming girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently they have really bad eyesight and tiny hands. Yeah, this one.
TMJ helps too.
You get a little bit of... I get a little bit of the sherry note on it. I get a little bit of sort of a nuttiness from the sherry on the nose. And the palate absolutely has to have water. Without the water, for me, it was one-dimensional. As soon as I added water, it completely opened up and you started getting all the fruit. I started getting the figs. I started getting the raisins. And then I get a little bit of that chocolate. I get definitely some tobacco on the front of the palate. Finish is decent, definitely not a bad finish.
I thought it was fairly long.
Yeah, I'd say medium to long. It's the problem is for me, it's all front palate.
I'm getting mid as well.
Yeah, I'm getting nothing in the back.
With the water, fruits on the mid, but otherwise you're right.
Yeah, it's more front palate forward, but yeah,
it doesn't coat the entire palate
and
stay there. It lingers on the mid palate for me.
Yeah. Yeah. But overall, damn fine whiskey. I wouldn't turn this one down.
Not at all. Yeah,
absolutely not. So we're going to be rating the Blood Oath Pact number, was it 8 or 9? It's 9, right?
Ocho.
Number 9.
No.
Well deserved. 4 sips. Number 9.
Tell us about this next
number
one.
Number 9. Number 9. Yeah.
Did you just go through puberty? What happened?
Yeah. What'd you hear?
Your voice broke right there.
He's coming through that change of life. You know how it is. So our next whiskey is going to be the Remus Repeal Reserve Series 7. It's 50% ABV, 100 proof. The Remus Repeal Reserve is named after George Remus, who is the self-proclaimed king of the bootleggers and supposed inspiration for The Great Gatsby. This year's edition is the 7th annual release from this series from Ross and Squibb Distillery, formerly known as MGP. This year's release was created by Ross and Squibb master distiller Ian Sturzman. It was a blend of 6% 2007 bourbon that was a 21% rye bourbon, 26% 2013 bourbon, a 21% rye bourbon. 26% 2013 bourbon, high rye 36% bourbon. 21% 2014, 21% rye bourbon. And 21% 2014, 36% rye. And if you can keep that all straight in your head, you're probably a mathematical genius. So look, when you read it on the paper, it sounds good. When you read it on the radio, it's real hard.
Well, I know there's a lot of 21%ers.
Yeah. But overall, the nose, pecans and cherry, maple syrup.
Candied pecans.
A little bit of a minty kind of tingle in the nose. And then on the palate. On the palate, it's caramel. I get a nice cherry note to it. More of like almost a sweet cherry, like almost not quite a maraschino, but a sweeter cherry. Get a lot of barrel char on it. I get that minty on the front of the palate near the teeth. And then I get a little bit of cinnamon on the back. Yeah, nice whiskey. Finishes medium to long, stays with you. What did you think, Brent?
Yeah, sticky is what I got on this one. It just sticks to your palate is the whole thing. All those notes are there that you have, you know, that the candied cherry, the barrel char, the cinnamon, the apple, the maple. The maple, I think, is kind of what I get is it gives it that sticky note that I kind of want to pour this over pancakes. You know, and eat pancakes with it.
Oh, yeah.
Pour this on my wife.
What are you, Prince? You want pancakes?
After he wins a basketball game.
That's it. We're gonna play some basketball, me and the revolution, and then we'll have pancakes. Yeah.
Serve pancakes to the loser. That was baller. Oh, God.
The nose is just so good on this. I keep coming back to it.
Yeah. It's a very pretty nose.
Candied pecans, cherries, the maple syrup. It's all there. As a hint of mint. Wow.
Oh, yeah, that mint right at the end there.
Yeah.
Yeah, right at the end, that mint comes through.
It's not even so much the herbal mint. It's more the cooling.
Yeah, the peppermint.
Like peppermint.
It's on the palate, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at the end of the palate, too.
I just didn't notice it because of the stickiness before. Like, it's
buried.
You add a little bit of water, and the stickiness kind of goes away, but...
I didn't try this with water. I'm going to try a little water.
And there's a note of dill, too, but it comes after the mint.
Like, there's no dill here.
Maybe 10, 15 seconds later, just as it's leaving your palate, just a little hint of dill. Which are the two signature notes.
Now
you got to
wait 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah.
The two signature notes. That's so good for radio. Let's just wait silently for 10,
15 seconds.
Ross and Squibb have these two classic notes that are in a lot of their expressions.
The dill is more in their rye than their bourbon.
Yeah,
there's one high rye bourbon in here. So
that's why it's there, but it's on delay.
The water didn't do much to it for me.
No.
It didn't really hurt it, but it didn't really add anything.
It just takes away that stickiness.
Yeah, I agree. It didn't hurt, didn't help.
If you want to add water, add water.
If you don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you're going to drink it, either way is good.
Well, we're going to be rating the Remus Repeal Reserve Series 7 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Keep them coming, guys. We've done every one of their releases, and we haven't had one yet that we didn't like. So let's move on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Okay, Bob. The fourth whiskey for the day is the Little Book Chapter 7, called In Retrospect. It's 118.1 proof or 59.05% ABV. Little Book Chapter 7 In Retrospect is a blend of 7 different cask strength whiskeys with 1 component from each of Freddie Noe's 6 previous releases.
Ooh.
And a new liquid for the 7th one. This represents what has come to be known as Little Book, but Freddie's continued journey. Did I say confused? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Freudian slip. Continued journey as the 8th generation master distiller of the Fred B. Noe Distillery. These are the blend components. There's an 18-year-old Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey, 17-year-old Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, a 10-year-old Kentucky Straight Rye Whiskey, a 9-year-old Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, a 5-year-old Straight Malt Whiskey finished in Applewood smoked barrels. Was that from last year? Was that the Applewood last year?
It was either last year or the year before.
Yeah. The 4-year-old Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey and a 4-year-old Kentucky Straight Rye Whiskey. The color is a very beautiful red gold. The nose is about candied nuts. Candied nuts, hints of berry and citrus, brown sugar. And on the palate, I found it rich. Let me try it again. Yeah. Wow. Rich, mouth coating. It hits the palate at a high ABV, evaporates, and then just grips back on. And long and minty with roasted pecans and peanuts. The finish is forever and very pleasant.
Yeah, I thought this was one of the better little books that he's done. On the nose, I got a lot of cloves. I got cloves on the nose. I got flowers, light smoke, a little bit of vanilla, some caramel, tobacco.
I don't get the clove. I'll give you the smoke and the vanilla, which I didn't mention, but I don't get the cloves still.
Yeah, and it's... But
on the nose? No, I don't get it on the nose at all.
I don't know why I got it.
What did you drink after you went home yesterday?
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is... I enjoy this one more than I have in the last couple of years.
Yeah, same here.
I think he's... You know, just to come around with the blendless components, I think
this one's actually gotten better since we opened it.
Yeah, I mean,
it has.
Seven, you know, chapter seven and seven different blends here. Wow, I mean, you have to do a lot of work to put those components together. So,
what'd you think?
So, my question with these is, did he do the whole book all the way to the end and knows what that tastes like and then is just releasing them one at a time? Or is he just doing a new analysis every year?
Because he's just doing a new one every year.
Yeah. Just seeing
I think this one was basically like, what was, of all the stuff I blended in each one of these, what was my favorite barrel that went into each one of those blends?
Right.
What if I took all those and put them together? I think that's what that is.
So he hasn't written the whole book yet. Nah. That's your theory.
I don't think so.
He's
too busy making country ham, boy.
I think the books are good country ham.
I think the books are going to go on.
Is he the ham like his grandfather too?
Yeah.
Nice.
So we went to the Kentucky.
We had some of it at KBF.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we had some at Bourbon Classic.
Yeah.
And he actually brought it to the restaurant and served everybody one of the appetizers with some of their country ham. They had a little bit of a problem because they were basically steaming these things in the mash tun. So they hung them in the mash tun, and then when they went back, they were gone. Like literally, like the meat had just slid off the bone down into the mash, and that had already been pumped out. So it's just there's like bones hanging on hooks and nothing else. So I desperately asked him, can you track down what batch of whiskey that went into? Because whatever bourbon you made that day that's got country ham essence in it, that's the one that I want.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't
know. Sure, but really this tasty. Sounds borderline illegal and unhygienic, but I want it.
Exactly.
I mean, well, everything's killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's sterile. By the time you drink it. It's like
mezcal with the pishuga.
You know me, yeah. I'll do anything for a pork product. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, we almost died for pork at the KBF.
Sausage, yep.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, Bob.
Brent bought 25 pounds of Delaney's sausage, put it in a cooler, packed it full of dry ice, put it in the trunk, and then we left for the day. And then when we came back at the end of the day, we got in the car with the windows up and tried to pull out of the parking lot and made it about 30 feet before we realized both of us couldn't breathe and we thought we were both having a heart attack. Like our hearts were racing and like my vision was blurry and we were having trouble talking.
But then you get out of the parking lot.
Made it 30 feet and like, what the hell? And he goes, maybe it's the heat. And I go, I don't think it's that hot. So we hit the windows and they rolled down And as they rolled down, a breeze went through the parking lot, went through one side of the car and the other, and all of a sudden we could breathe and everything was okay. And then we figured out it was the CO2 backing up in the car. So we almost died.
At least we put it in the trunk so it was safe.
In a Bardstown parking lot for a love of sausage. So...
And so if we, you know, products if we, have bubbles.